Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Podcast. Marty Millard here, joined by my partner Mitch McCumber. Mitch, it's been a minute since we got together and plenty to talk about here.
Yeah, we're a little behind the eight ball here, but girls and guys basketball for the state of Iowa is wrapped up. We're almost done with March Madness and college basketball, and our eyes are kind of set towards baseball and the early part of football. But we got a lot of things to talk about with girls and guys basketball, with all state honors and what happened down at the tournament in Des Moines.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll let you get into it with the girls first, but I do want to mention our sponsors here. I'm out re-signing folks for the new season, and things are going very well. I'd like to thank Bob Rose for their continued support, Bob Rose Point After, North End Zone and West Side Pizza. Terry and Jeremy take real good care of us. And Luke over at Primetime Steak and Chop House over in Hinton has jumped on board, and he's going to be our main sponsor for our high school football recruiting profiles that we're going to start doing. And we're going to have these kids in live and talk about their recruitment and different things they're experiencing, what's drawing them to a certain school, or maybe, drawing them away a little bit. So we'll pick their brain a little bit. It's meant to be a one-on-one type thing for Mitch and I to discuss with a potential recruit and how things transpire from the first meeting with the coaching staff, and then as you build that relationship, how things kind of come to be, as they say. So looking forward to that. That'll be real fun. We're going to try and get one of those in a week here, starting in April. But I'll let Mitch go ahead and get right to it here. Girls, state basketball, Mitch.
Yeah, and we've had a couple of those people on before talking about the recruitment and stuff. So
yeah,
just kind of diving a little bit deeper into it. And once April turns around, we turn new leaf and are able to focus on that. So
yeah,
for girls basketball in 1A, Bishop Garrigan's champion again. Audie Crooks leaves a champion with a score of 68-57 over a really good Newell Fonda team, but it was just too much. She has the most points in the state tournament in girls Iowa history, and it's going to be hard for someone to break that. I mean, she's averaging right around low 30s a game, and she was really just a horse that Bishop Garrigan rode. They had other good guards, but it kind of seemed like every year once basketball started in the state of Iowa for girls in 1A, it was going to be Bishop Garrigan, and then who could somehow, try to beat them. But no one was able to this year. Congrats to their girls. In 2A, Central Lyon lost a game to Dyke New Hartford. Dyke New Hartford, the number one seed as well, won that one 64-49. Central Lyon gave it as good of a run as I thought they were going to be able to do, and came out just runner-up in that one. In 3A, Sioux Center got a state championship, winning 62-47.
Congratulations to them.
Over Benton. It was the sixth seed coming into the tournament, so there's a little bit of March Madness in that one. Started in that one's on March 3rd. Those were the two early games for that. Sioux Center, I think, got kind of disrespected in the draw that they got, and they made the committee pay for it. It was a 6-4 matchup. I don't know if that's ever happened before in the state tournament for the championship game, but it was a good one, and Sioux Center comes out victorious. Moving on to 4A now, Dallas Center Grimes continues their dominance in girls class 4A, winning against North Polk 57-50. I can't tell you how many times that you almost have to etch them in every single year in that bracket of eight, because they're there almost every single year. It's a really dominant
great
team, and they've been
a
really good culture over there. And then I think the closest game and the best game was the game in 5A. Pleasant Valley etches out number 2 Johnson 59-56, and just a crazy game, went back and forth all the way through. A lot of D1 talent on both those teams, a lot of talent returning for both those teams. Could be another matchup again in next year's bracket, but I thought the girls' games and the effort and everything that flowed through it seemed, the caliber of competition seemed better than years past, and I'm not taking it away from any past girls teams, but it just seemed like there was a lot of buzz around this year, just with the high profile girls that were down in Des Moines playing. Maybe it's because a lot more eyes are looking on the two college scenes for Iowa and Iowa State, and
yeah,
you know, there's a lot more buzz coming around from the local girls that are playing. But you know, I thought even in the Missouri River and around the Siouxland area was pretty well represented at the state tournament. The girls didn't finish the way they wanted to, but there was a lot of good competition throughout the entire state this year in girls basketball, and it definitely showed at the tournament.
And you make a good point, which I agree with you. I think it's due in large part to additional travel ball teams and things like that at the middle school level, AAU, whatever you want to call it. But kids are able to work on their game, and you know, there's better basketball being played both on the girls' side and on the boys' side too. So I just think repetition, and you know, there's no substitute for game time. So I think that's huge in the development of players. And obviously, you know, can't be understated, there's a lot of good coaches across the state too, as
right.
well.
And we'll get into the guys here in a second, but I will mention, at least for the MRAC, the first and second team, all MRAC teams, for first, Kai Davis from West, Alex Flattery from East, Peyton Hardy from Sergeant Bluff, Trisha Miller from East, Meta Scott from Lamar's, and Brooklyn Stanley from Bishop Heelan. You know, of those teams represented, it was all the local Siouxland teams there. None from Council Bluffs, and you could kind of tell that. And those were in the main top three teams mm-hmm. that were in the fighting for the MRAC. And I, you know, Peyton Hardy, I know for sure. Metaskov, you know, Brooklyn Stanley. A lot of these girls are going to play past just high school. So it shows that a lot of this first team at least is, you know, was pretty stacked. And there's some younger gals on this list too. It's not all seniors.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of impressive basketball that'll be played going on. And then in the second team, Sarah Brown from Lamar's, Vera Groom from West, Kenley Meese from Bishop Heelan, Jaden Newberg from Bishop Heelan, Emily Pomparakis from Abraham Lincoln, and then Sydney Rexius from North. So pretty much you heard all the teams from the surrounding areas being represented in the first and second team. I know there's probably a couple girls that think they got snubbed a little bit, but you know, there's always just something more to prove next year if you're able to put your name on that ballot again. And I think that you know, next year when we look at this MRAC conference, it's going to be a little bit more even. You're still going to have your East and your Heel, and I think that are going to be in the top part. Mm-hmm. But that middle part of the pack, a lot of gals, like Sergeant Bluff, loses a big load for their senior class. You talked about Scott from Lamar's. They lose a good score there. So the 2-5 race mm-hmm. in the MRAC next year is going to be really close. And, you know, I think there could be some potential upsets next year with – East and Heelan, you know, as long as they, because we saw it this year with East going to Sergeant Bluff and losing, mm-hmm. so I think there could be a couple upsets, you know, in the bracket. But I do think, again, if you're looking at 1-2 in the conference next year, it's you look no farther than Bishop Heelan and Sioux City East.
Yep, yeah, I would agree, and I just want to give a quick shout out to Angela Christensen at North. I think she does a really good job. She's a little underwomaned, I guess you would say. But she works really hard at her job.
They had a good year, too.
They had a pretty good year. And, you know, she just keeps getting better and better. And she really works hard in the off season, having these tournaments and camps and things like that. So more power to her. I hope she keeps it going.
And we'll slide on over to the guys' side, and we'll have plenty more to talk about. Obviously, when we get into the softball aspect of it, a lot of good MRAC softball being played. But we still got to get through a couple more months till that starts. So we'll go over to the guys' side. 1-4A, I thought was great basketball.
Yeah, it really was.
A lot
there
of
some good games.
A lot of chalk happened for the earlier brackets,
yeah.
And then almost a curveball came in in 4A. Not that I didn't expect Des Moines Valley to be good, but how they handled themselves in the tournament, they were like, I don't care who you put in front of us, we're going to go and get after it. So we'll get into these scores here. Grandview Christian does what they do best, and with their big man senior leaving, he leaves a state champion with their victory over North Lynn, 63-46 in Class 1A. In Class 2A, Central Lyon and Lutmer gets a state title, another one. They keep adding rings and trophies to their trophy case. They beat a Western Christian team who I think could have been 1-2. Mm-hmm. It was 1-3 in the bracket. Western Christian, I think, only had two losses on the season.
Right.
Really good team. They have a young group as well. They'll return a lot of kids next year. There'll be a load to deal with there. They and won 72-59, so I thought a little bit bigger of a margin of victory than I thought was going to happen. And in 3A, Bonder and Fryer beats Xavier. Xavier, a team that seems like it's a calendar year and they're all back at the state tournament.
Yeah.
That one, nail biter and all. Bonder wins 58-55 over Xavier. And then Valley really taking it to all the teams in their way, but they beat Waukee Northwest, which we kind of all thought it would be a Waukee, Waukee Northwest final. The way they got set up, it didn't happen that way. Waukee and Waukee Northwest played in the semifinal game, and after that game, I was like, well, the way that Waukee Northwest looked, it's their championship to lose. And Valley came in at the four seed and really took it to them, won by 8 points, 75-67 for the final. And that team has a ton of juniors and sophomores returning next year. I think they're the overall favorite to win it next year in 4A.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there are very few teams return what they're bringing to the table next winter.
And some, I think some guys, you always say, that guy made himself some money during that tournament. These guys earned themselves scholarships.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think 1 through 5 played about as good as what anyone has. I think one guy in particular with Zay Robinson, I know he was being looked at.
Yeah, I know. He's just rising.
For football, but after the performance he had on the basketball court, I don't know what you throw him a scholarship for. Maybe both. I don't know.
He's going to have options, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I know Iowa State and Iowa both extended offers after – the state championship game. I think Iowa State already had a football offer. I don't know if Iowa did or not, but it's the guys that prove themselves on the biggest stage usually get rewarded for it. And I think everyone at Valley's stock rose a lot during that tournament, and rightfully so. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And then boys' first team, what do you got, Mitch?
So MRAC, it would be hard-pressed not to have any East guys on there. So Preston Dobbs and Fitzy Grant both did. Both
seasons.
Made it.
Yep.
Matt Knoll, who had a heck of a
year
a nice for
run.
Healing and a really good showing down at the state tournament, too.
Yep. And he'll be back next year, too. So
And that's a team that's – East was more the mature and older team, graduates a lot of seniors. Healing does have a lot of turnaround for next year, so that rivalry is going to only intensify. Should be a great matchup next year for both home and away for Healing and East. Mathak from Abraham Lincoln. We saw the Abraham Lincoln Lynx have a really good year after losing their two stud seniors. Dylan Scott from Sergeant Bluff was a stock riser, I thought, in our eyes at Sergeant Bluff.
Had a
little bit of a, I wouldn't say a down year, but a quiet year last year. This year he came onto the scene and was the guy for Sergeant Bluff. You had some other guys that we'll talk about here, like your Tyler Smiths and your Luchins and different guys like that. But really the stock riser at Sergeant Bluff was Dylan Scott. And then Lemarian Mothershed, it would be hard not to talk about him for his entire 4 years at Sioux City West, what he brought to that football program and that basketball program. Just a really driven leader on a West team that, I don't think lived up to as many expectations as they wanted to, but still, I mean, night in and night out, you knew you were going to get a physical and a gritty game out of Sioux City West, and, they won some games that I feel like they won because of their heart and effort, and I think that a lot of that has to do with coaching. And, we'll see these guys, I thought Mothershed went and bet on himself and is going to a junior college. He's only going to get better once he gets down there.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, is he going to Grandview? I thought he was going to Grandview.
Grandview. Yeah. Excuse me, not junior college.
Grandview. And I'm high on him. Always have been. I just, once he gets in a system, I mean, his body's already ready to roll. You and I both know that. So if he can just find somebody that can just throw him some jump balls, they're going to have great success with him there on the outside at receiver over in Des Moines there.
Yeah, and then second team, we'll talk about his partner in crime there, Kevion Hayes. Those two hand-in-hand all the way from freshman year to senior year played extremely well for Sioux City West on, you know, the gridiron and on the court was a huge reason for their success the last couple years. Cole Arnold from Abraham Lincoln, Carter Keel, another guy we mentioned a lot
great
of
season,
this year
yeah.
for Bishop Heelan, Tyler Smith, both getting it done on the hardwood, what he wasn't able to do on the gridiron, and, you know, finishing out his season. He is the one that I got mixed up. He bet on himself, and he's going JUCO to better himself in football. Sam Johns, who kind of took a real big step his senior year at Sioux City East. Jordan Diwali from Thomas Jefferson, and then Creighton Bracker from Abraham Lincoln round out the second team for the MRAC. Again, I feel like you have the two teams in the MRAC were East and Abraham Lincoln. A lot of those guys lost seniors last year and definitely lose a big pack of seniors from this year. The MRAC for guys is, I think, even more wide open than it is for the girls. East loses a lot. They're going to have, you know, one real senior that's going to lead this their program in Fitz Grant.
Yeah.
Sergeant Buff lost a ton.
Mm-hmm.
They return a little bit of a junior class, but it's going to have a lot of shoes to fill. Bishop Heelan's going to be a team that, you know, lost one or two seniors, but has the junior class that'll be good to go next year. And then, you know, your Council Bluffs, Abraham Lincoln, and your Council Bluffs, Thomas Jefferson. West will be a team that, you know, we will have to see once the season starts what kind of program they are. And then a team that you didn't see on here at all for guys or girls that had, I would say, definitely a down year for their respects is Lamar's.
Yeah.
You know, you lost your two gifted seniors last year, and then you don't have that on your roster. You're building up momentum for the next year, and I think we'll see a couple Lamar's Bulldogs on the first team, if not the second team, all conference next year once we go and get these read out for next year around this time of year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And let's not forget Sioux City North will return Zach Hesse, you know, solid score at 14 points a game. And the young point guard, Noah Conley. Look forward to their growth and the continued kind of rebirth of Sioux City North basketball.
Yeah, with Alfredson at coach, too, I think they're only going to get better.
Yeah, yep. A lot of goals in front of them. That kind of wraps it up for our hoops. Really enjoyed it this year. Now we get to talk about something I really love, man. We're talking about football. Football, buddy. We got some reclassification going on in the state of Iowa. Before we touch on that, I just want to say that I was invited and took part in Seneca Wallace had a football camp a couple weeks back here in March that he held over in West Des Moines. And it was, I mean, I've been to a lot of camps. This was just an A-plus camp for me. A lot of great coaches and teachers there, former NFL players, former D1 college players, Texas, TCU, you know, Iowa State, obviously. And, you know, guys that just really know what they're talking about. And they take time to explain to these kids how they want this drill done, how they want that drill done. Also gave me a chance to really get to know some of the kids from across the whole state. That were in attendance, and I tell you what, Mitch, there's a lot of good talent across the state of Iowa, and you know, I follow recruiting because I'm kind of a junkie in that regard, so I'm seeing different schools recruiting the state of Iowa. Boston College, Air Force, Army, Tulsa, Tulane.
Kansas State's hitting
Kansas
hard.
State has really been busy in the state of Iowa. So just interesting to see. And again, we're gonna tie that all in with our recruiting profile podcast that'll start in April. But on the heels of Seneca Wallace's camp, which was very well run. And I'm being told that he'll probably have another camp in late July. He's going to try and work around state baseball and things of that nature. But also on the heels of that, this April 16th for Prep Red Zone Iowa, which I am a regional scout for. Guys that are listening to the podcast, pay attention. You're going to get invites in your inbox here the remaining of this week and the next. So they're kids that I've targeted. Anybody can go to the camp, and all the information, you can find it at Siouxland Sports Insider Twitter account, SSI_Siouxland, Mitch.
Yeah, and talking about just the different guys that are able to go to this camp, it's obviously a huge thing for not only Marty and myself, but for different guys that want to get scout looks, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like this area in Siouxland isn't appreciated enough, and you don't get in a lot of the scouts that come up to different games. You'll get located by scouts by your NAIs and your some local guys, and if you're making a big splash and word gets out, usually through the coaches, then a big name will come and look. What a better way to put your resume out there than to go to one of these camps and play extremely well. Speaking of which, you know, you have you go to the Seneca Wallace camp, mm-hmm. and the MVP of the Seneca Wallace camp is right from Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah,
so
great point. Dayton Harrell, Sioux City North, senior to be. Out of 170 kids, he was the MVP of the camp.
Yeah, and that's down in Des Moines camp. So
so he's surrounded by Des Moines talent.
And, absolutely.
He just really performed well. And then that comes off him winning the MVP at the Prep Red Zone camp that was held in January in Council Bluffs. So he's doing himself a lot of favors this offseason. I really like the attitude and mentality over at Sioux City North. And I look for them to have a very good season this coming fall, Mitch.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a little bit about the reclassification. But make sure if you are, an underclassman, to get yourself down to that camp. Like I said, Marty will be shooting out stuff to the inbox. If you want to go and you didn't get an invite, make sure you contact us. It's SSI_Siouxland on Twitter. But talking about football reclassifications, two big reclassification news that we have to break here. A crosstown rivalry that won't be no more in conference, and then a team dropping down a class, Marty.
Yeah, exactly. The big news that kind of came out of the announcement Monday was Sioux City West going from 5A to 4A. They'll be competing with some teams. Normally they wouldn't. It's just kind of interesting how they're kind of reshuffling the deck with a few of these districts, Mitch. And what's your initial thoughts on that move?
You know, I like it. You create more parity. I think if you look at it, West can tell you that they weren't as competitive as what they would like to be.
Right.
And for them to drop down a class, now they're still going to have to hang with some big boys. Their district is Denison, Sleswig, Fort Dodge, Lamar's, them, Spencer, and Storm Lake. I don't think there's really any game where you can be like, all right, I'm going to mark that as an automatic win. But it helps you when you are grouped with schools that are the same size as you. And when you get a matchup district-wise, you're still going to have to play in conference games. So they're still going to have to play their East. They're still going to have to play North. They're still, if Sergeant Bell's on the schedule, we're going to have to go up against them. But when it gets to district play, when you go into
puncher's chance,
man. Yeah, you have a chance.
Yeah,
because we've seen across, I think the only one that is really can say that they've done it with the less numbers is Harlan.
Yeah,
and when it reclassified, Harlan is the middle to low pack in 3A, and they've won, there seems like 35 state championships.
That's a machine there.
Other than that, it's usually the heavier top-loaded seeds in a lot of these classes trounce over the lower ones. And for Sioux City West, I think it's a sigh of relief that, hey, we don't have to compete with schools that have 100 kids more a grade than we do.
Yeah.
The Waukee and Waukee Northwest split, and they're still ranked 11 and 6 and 4 in 5A.
Yeah, I mean,
and that was one school at one point. Like, yeah. how are the Sioux City schools supposed to compete with that?
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those deals where you learn all you need to know when the national anthem's being played, and you got 35 kids on one sideline, then you got across the way, you've got a kid on the 10-yard line on one end of the field and on the 10-yard line of the other. I mean, it's just numbers in football. It has a lot to do with the outcomes of games. Let's admit it. You got a shorter roster. You suffer an injury, you're in trouble. You know, you just don't have the depth to pick up on that.
And then the big one that we saw, Woodbury Central.
Yeah.
Splitting up the Highway 20 rivalry.
Yeah.
Not by choice, obviously. I'm sure they're still going to have it, but not to be in the same district is kind of weird.
Yeah, it'll be different. You know, that's a traditional rivalry that's been played for years and years. And, you know, they'll still get it played. I don't know if it'll have the same significance. I mean, everybody wants to win every game. I get it. Those district games are the ones that are important. But it'll still be a dogfight between those two schools. And, you know, Woodbury Central this fall, first kid I think of, Klunder at quarterback, Eric McGill at wide receiver. I mean, that's a pretty good duo. And then speaking of Lawton Bronson, you got Braden Heiss, and then two potential Division I recruits with Caleb Garnand on one side and Loudon Grimsley on the other.
Yeah, so. And I think if you look at it, I think Lawton gets a short end of the stick on this one because they reclassified district. They go up, so now they're in 1A football again, what they were in before. But they have Hinton, themselves, MVAO, COU, OABCIG, Ridgeview, and the gauntlet, which is West Sioux and Hayward.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to give up the Highway 20 rivalry if you do to go play the teams that are juggernauts and go to the state championship every single year? I don't know. Yeah. I think that, you know, obviously the coaching staff at Lawton Bronson has, you know, the horses ready. They just got to have them get up to the line and have them race. You know, I think it'll be a good showing. Sorry, I think Lawton Bronson is going to be much improved from last year. We saw, you know, here and there against a couple of different teams where they showed their offensive firepower.
Yeah.
They just got to get back and play some solid defense, and they'll hang with all these teams in District 1.
That's the whole thing is, you know, if they got a defense that can, you know, hold their water, they don't have to be tremendous. If they can just force punts and get the ball back, they'll be in good shape.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to wait until early September to see. But
I'm going to enjoy the wait. Yep.
I guarantee in the talking points, you know, we're going to sit down with a couple of those guys, Garnet, Grimsley, Heiss, you know, and getting
to kind of see
where their minds are at. You know how the recruiting process goes from you know, a small town kid in Iowa getting recruited by, you know, the likes of, you know, from anywhere from a Grandview to a Morningside all the way up to an Iowa State. I know a couple of those guys have been on different visits to Iowa State and Iowa, so to kind of just pick their brains is going to be really cool to see. You know, I wasn't, you know, ever recruited to play Division I football or anything. So to kind of get the inside scoop from these guys, you know, as it's happening, is going to be really cool to see.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Well, we appreciate you joining us. We want to throw out thanks again to Bob Rose and Primetime Steak and Chop House over in Hinton. If you go there this weekend, tell him Marty Millard sent you. Thanks for listening.